I can't quite see you because the glory of God is shining on me. Amen. I'm grateful for God's mercy and His grace. You know, we're living in a time where whatever can be shaken is going to be shaken. There's earthquakes, there's storms of life that come. We heard on the news last night that there were some tornadoes and some really terrible weather, and I don't know what the latest news is, but they were estimating maybe up to 50 people had died, and things that were shaken, things that were man-made, were destroyed. We're living in an age where there is such a wind of uncertainty, of anxiety, of despair, and that there is an earthquake, there is a storm of life that is coming through, and only the things that can remain and that are able to withstand are going to be able to get through this. You know, earthquakes are caused by, they say, the tectonic plates shifting and the ground moving. And many times, many buildings are destroyed. And in the last 50 years, there have been many devastating earthquakes. Thousands of little ones and big ones that have come and just swept away livelihoods and lives and all kinds of things. And yet, sometimes you come across in this devastation, one house or one tree that still remains, and it looks amazing, it looks miraculous. It tells us in the scripture, though, that there are going to be these storms of life. There are going to be things that come into our lives that want to sweep away all kinds of things. And a lot of times we get anxious, we get depressed. Hebrews 12:27 says, this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things which are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. I'm telling you that there is something about having some things come and shake some things loose in your life. Some things you actually may not have needed. Some things actually that weren't so good for us. The Lord sometimes allows there to be a shaking to get rid of some stuff. You know, there's some things that come through that blow away some of the things that we really didn't need to be holding on to. Some things that were actually not helping us. So that the things that cannot be shaken will remain. See, what scripture tells us is earthly things, things that we have created ourselves, can be shaken. Your job, your finances can be shaken. Your health can be shaken. Your whole life situation can be rocked. There can be things that come into your relationship. There can be things that come into your children's relationship that will shake you. But the things that are built on the solid rock cannot be shaken. See, the things that are built on the rock that is Christ are built to stand. The thing that cannot be shaken, moved, or lost, it's whenever our life and our soul is given to Him. Paul in the book of Acts said when he was going to Jerusalem, they were telling him all the things that were going to come and shake his world, that were going to rock his world, how he was going to be arrested and that they were going to put him in prison. And he says, listen, none of this moves me. None of these things move me. You know why? He was planted. He was grounded in what his destiny was. He knew where he was going. He wasn't going to let any wind of fear shake him. Sometimes that's what we got to do, is just hold on, because there are going to be storms in life that come through to shake us. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says this, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit. Quit you like men. That means start acting like a grown adult. Be strong. Sometimes there are going to be things that come into our lives that we cannot understand. We can make no sense of. It doesn't have a rhyme or reason. There was a time in Paul's life where everybody left him alone. In 1 Thessalonians 3:8, he says, for now we live if we stand fast in the Lord. Brother Hatton preached just a few weeks ago about stand. When you've done all that you can to stand, you have to stand. See, sometimes being left alone is a good thing. In 2 Timothy 4:9, he says, writing to Timothy, he says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. And he's starting to tell all the people who have left him. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. He was saying, listen, all of my friends are gone. It's just me. I'm the only one that remains. But here there is a blessing to remaining. There is a blessing if you're the only one. You with God constitute the majority. One person with God, let me say it again, constitutes the majority. I remember Elijah in the Old Testament. He had 400 prophets of Baal against him, but that didn't matter. You know who else was with him? God Almighty. When you are grounded upon that rock, it doesn't matter who else is shouting at you. It doesn't matter what voices are whispering in your ear. It doesn't matter what storms come through. You can stand on that rock and you can remain. It's important that you remain. The Bible says it's he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Sometimes you're going to be left alone. In verse 11, he says, only Luke is with me. Only Luke is. He only had one person left supporting him in his ministry. Sometimes you may come into church and it's only one or two. See, I can't see right now, so I don't know how many is out there. But I know this, if God is here, that's the only person that matters. If the Spirit of the Lord is here, there is liberty. Amen. That's why we worship. That's why we give him praise. In the Sunday school today, we were talking about when the angels appeared to the shepherds and told them this wonderful news that God was going to become man. And they went to the manger and they saw the baby Jesus. And the Bible said then they left rejoicing and praising God and glorifying him. And I said to the Sunday school class, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Not because he came the first time, but because he died and is coming back again. Amen. But the question is, how do we remain in an earthquake? How do you make it through these times of crisis where stuff is just kind of washing over you, where you don't know what to do, when there doesn't seem to be anywhere to turn to, where there doesn't seem to be any hope, where it just seems that God is not speaking to you? How do you remain in that case? How do you grasp hold on that solid rock? In Acts 20:24, this is what I quoted before. Here is Paul. Everyone was telling him, hey, Paul, if you go to Jerusalem, they're going to arrest you. They're going to put you in prison. Disaster is in front of you. But here's Paul's answer. He says, none of these things move me. When we get to the place where none of these things move me, then we're going to be the one that remains. We're going to be the one that is there at the end. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Here he's being told, listen, you go to Jerusalem, they're going to arrest you. They're going to throw you in prison. They may even beat you. They may even whip you. You are going to be executed. What is his answer to this storm of bad news? He says, none of these things move me. When we get to the place where we can say truly, none of these things move me because I am rooted and grounded and planted upon that rock, which is Christ, then we will be the ones that remain. There is something about remaining. There's something about enduring. Philippians 1:21, he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If you're not moved, it means you're going to remain. It means you're going to make it. It means you're going to be triumphant. It means that the devil is not going to win. No matter what the storms of life blow your way, no matter what the doctor says, you're going to remain. Now, I've had about 3 operations on this hand. Starting in January of last year, it seems like the devil attacked me. And it's still giving me trouble. And I was looking at it today, and I just decided I'm going to declare some things. I'm not going to have the devil win, because I'm going to outlast him. Amen. It's who endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. You've got to have some remain in you. You can't give up at the slightest boo-hoo of the devil, as the slightest scare tactics of the devil. You've got to have a made-up mind, just like Paul, and say, none of these things move me. None of these things move me. I tell you what, if you can say none of these things move me, then you will remain. And if the Bible says it's he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. I want to show you how you can get through these storms. In the book of Luke, we hear the story of Lazarus, not Lazarus, Zacchaeus. And Jesus had come to town and there was a great crowd. And this man who wasn't really a great man in the sense of a Christian, but there was something about Jesus that he saw that changed his heart. And in Luke, he gets up on the tree, you know the story, and as Jesus comes past, Jesus says something to him. In Luke chapter 19, verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide. And in the Greek, that's the same word. It means remain at thy house. Do you understand what that implies? Jesus wasn't coming for a one-day visit. He wasn't coming just to have dinner with him. He really was telling him, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to remain at your house. This is how you will get through the storms. This is how you will deal with the devil. He's got to remain at your house. We lose the real meaning of this because in the English it says abide, but it really means remain. It was not that he was just coming to stay one day. In spirit, Jesus was telling Zacchaeus, listen, I'm going to be with you now, Zacchaeus. There's going to be a change in your behavior. There's going to be a new outlook in your direction. There's going to be a new future for you because I'm going to remain in your house. See, when Jesus is in our house, then we can remain. What remain means in this case is deliverance. It means forgiveness. It means a true change. When Jesus told Zacchaeus, I'm coming to remain at your house, that means Zacchaeus couldn't be the same Zacchaeus as he was the day before. He had changed. He said, listen, if I've cheated anybody, I'm going to give them back fourfold. If I've wronged anybody here, I'm going to give them back the money. There was a change because Jesus now was remaining. When you have Jesus, you can remain. You can get through these storms of life. You can get through the earthquakes of life. You can make it. But you have to have a made-up mind. You have to have a determination. Zacchaeus was determined to see Jesus because he climbed up on a tree. He was determined that he would get a glimpse of the Master. There is something about remaining that is powerful, that is transformative. If you will come to God and make up in your mind that you're going to remain, in Acts chapter 27, Paul, in another of his journeys after he had been arrested, after he was on his way to Rome to see Caesar, the ship was shipwrecked. And there was all kinds of stuff happening. And in Acts 27, verse 20, they started to panic because the ship had run aground and they thought they were going to be destroyed. And they started, some of the sailors started to try and get off the boat. Do you know that's what happens when you start to panic? You think, okay, I'll get off the boat. As if that's going to make things better. I remember, and I know I've told this story before, when my wife was in labor and she wanted to, she's looking at me, she wanted to get up and leave the labor behind. As if getting up would have made the pain go away. You know, that's what a lot of us do. We think if we get up and leave the boat, it stops. But we can't, because it's the problem is not with the boat, it's with us. In this story, it says, and the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship when they had let down the boat into the sea. They'd put down the lifeboat under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. They were going to run off and leave the boat. But Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship. In other words, he's saying, unless you stay in the ship, you're not going to be saved. That's my message today. You have to remain. You can't get out the ship because of the storm and think you're going to make it. Paul said to these sailors, you think it looks good to get into the lifeboat, but actually that's a trick of the devil. If you want everyone to be saved, they have to remain in the boat. But it's crazy. The storm is coming. It's breaking up the boat. Nevertheless, that's where you got to stay. When he told them that, they obeyed. And the Bible goes on to say not one of the 270 people on that ship was lost. Why? Because they stayed in the boat. There is something in deliverance when you remain. When you remain, when you are trusting God to keep you through, when you are taking him at his word, when even though you can't see your way out, you still remain. Jesus told his disciples some hard things sometimes. some unbelievable things. He said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. At that time, he had 72 disciples, and 60 of them said, ooh, that's too hard. That's crazy talk. I can't understand that. It makes no sense. And you know, Jesus would not explain anything to them. Sometimes he will speak a word into your life, and he gives no explanation, because he is seeing if you will remain. He was seeing what things are going to go. He's seeing what metal you're made of, if you're going to just trust him. And 60 of the 72 said, oh, this is too hard. We got to leave. But what did Peter say? Jesus looked at Peter and said, listen, you guys want to go too? Sometimes it looks like God is being hard with us, but he is testing whether we are going to remain, whether we are going to trust his word, even without explanation, even when the storms are blowing. So he said to Peter, hey, you want to go too? Peter said, whither shall we go? Only you have the words of life. I'm telling you, there's something that you have to hold on to, that you will remain firm and fast no matter what the storm comes, no matter what Satan is telling you. You have to tie your anchor to that rock and you have to stay. Now, I know I'm using a lot of mixed metaphors there. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship. Unless you're willing to stay in the ship, everyone who goes out is going to be lost. And in the end, even though the ship was broken up, not one person of the 270 plus was lost. Why? Because they stayed and obeyed what the prophet through Paul had said. You know, what I'm trying to tell you is that we can get through the storms if we have Jesus remaining in our life. Just like Zacchaeus in John 8:34, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. The servant abideth not. The servant will not remain. Do you understand what he's saying? The servant isn't going to stay. He'll sin, then he'll go. But the son abideth forever. That's what it takes. The son will remain. That's the point I'm trying to make. You need to hold on to Jesus and make sure that you're not the servant, but that you are the son, because the son will remain. John 14:17 says, even the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but he know him, for he dwelleth. And that, guess what that word is truly in the Hebrew? It's remains. When Jesus, the Spirit of truth, remains with you, you're going to hold on. You're not going to give up. You're not going to be deceived. He goes on to say, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The Son remains. The Spirit remains. In 1 Thessalonians 4:17, it says something really interesting about those that remain. It says, we that are alive and, what's the word? Are you sure? Okay, it's those that remain this promise is unto. Then we which are alive. Now, it says alive. Are you alive today? Can you shout out the name of Jesus? Can you thank him for his goodness? Can you lift him up in glory? It's we that are alive and remain. Because there's some people that remain, but they're dead. They have no life. They've let whatever Jesus they had go. But the scripture says this, then we which are alive and remain. I tell you, those things that remain are the things that are going to make it. Those things that are a servant are going to go. But the Son remains. The Spirit remains. The power of God remains. You stay in the ship, you will be saved. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we what? Ever be. Are you dead to this world but alive in Christ? You just said you have to stand. Not just sleep, but you have to stand. You got to hold on to this solid rock. I like sweating, actually. It's good for me. See, I have a towel here. I like sweating. It's good for me. It really is. Amen. You know, Paul said he speaks in tongues more than you all. I sweat more than you all. Amen. That's not very spiritual, but I'm still remaining here. Are you dead to this world? Because if you're dead to this world but alive in Christ, and remain, your name is going to be called. You have to just stand on that solid rock and not let anything take you out. Let nothing move you. You have got to remain. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a time when the law was being given on Mount Sinai. And guess what was happening? There were earthquakes. There was thunderings and lightnings. And the people said, okay, you go up there, Moses. We'll stay down here. We don't really think we want to go up there. So Moses went up there. And the thing that I believe helped him to remain is he said, I want to see God. And God said, you can't see my face, but I tell you what, if you get on this rock, if you stand on this rock, I'm going to hide you in this rock. And that's how Moses was able to see the hinder part of God. I'm telling you, you want to see Christ, you have to stand upon the rock that cannot move. You got to put down some anchors and you have got to remain through, as they say, hell or high water. You got to remain. You got to let the storms of life just wash over you, but you have to remain. John 15:4, and I'm going to be real short. This is going to be one of the shortest messages you've ever heard, except for my former pastor in Virginia, and he has the record for the shortest message. John 15:4 says, abide in me. Guess what that word in the Greek means? It means remain in me. And then I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it remain in the vine, no more can he, except he remain in me. I'm telling you today, the message is you got to remain. I know I've said that word a lot, but let me say it one more time. You have got to remain. If you don't, if you get out the boat, you're not going to make it. I am the vine, verse 5. Ye are the branches. He that abideth, he that remaineth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide or remain not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. But if ye abide in me, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you shall ask what he will, and it shall be done unto you. Amen. Now, the shortest message I've ever heard, my former pastor in Virginia, this was about 1980, he came up to the platform, and he went up to the piano, and he played 7 notes. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. And he stopped. And that was the message. And he said, you all feel uncomfortable, don't you? Why? Because I didn't play that last note. It was hanging there. And that was the message. But today, I've preached a little long. I want you to stand because this is a short message. It's very simple. Be like Paul in Acts 27. Don't let anything move you. Don't let the storms of life move you. That's what Satan comes to do, is to move us, to destroy our faith, to take our joy. But the Bible tells us that if we are alive and remain, we are going to be caught up together to meet him in the clouds. But that's only going to happen if we are alive and we remain. He's not coming back for the dead Christian. Only those that are dead in Christ. And we which remain or are alive and remain shall be caught up. There's going to be storms. There's storms every day. There's going to be things that come through your life. Some of the things are going to clear out some mess. Storms blow a lot of things and you decide, okay, I don't really need that. I'd had that for 10 years, going to use it, never did use it. All it was doing was taking up space. God wants us to remain. Despite even if there's no one with us, even despite if we feel we're alone. Just like Paul, he went through those times when he had to say, this one has left me, that one has left me. Only Luke is with me. But yet he also could say, none of this moves me. Even when you're telling me all the bad stuff's about to happen, none of this moves me. Even though I know maybe 22 is going to be maybe not too much better than 21, none of this moves me. You know why? I'm going to be alive and I'm going to remain when Jesus comes. Trial and tribulation are promised us as Christians. Why think it's strange, the fiery trials? But what you have to do is have a made-up mind that despite what comes, I am going to be alive and I'm going to remain. Jesus said, if you remain or abide in me and I in you, then you're going to bring forth much fruit. As I told you, he really told Zacchaeus that I've come to remain at your house. If it was a one-day thing, Zacchaeus would have been back to cheating people the next week. It would have only lasted a little bit until that wore off. That's what happens with some Christians. They only have a surface experience. They don't let Jesus remain in their house. Because I tell you, if Jesus is permanently in your house, you can't act the same way. You're not going to do the same things. Because we are called to remain. This is not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. In other words, he that remaineth, the same shall be saved. Jesus told the parable of how the master went out and hired people at different times of the day. And the last people, guess what? They got the same pay. You know why? Because they were there at the end of the day. Doesn't matter if you've been saved 50 years, if you've been going to church all your life, if the week before you decide to step out on God, that's really sad. It doesn't matter if 2 days before the rapture you get saved, but you're there when it fulfills the scripture that says those that are alive and remain. All I want you to take away from this service is this: I've got to remain. I have got to remain. I have got to make it through. Nothing in this life will be worth giving up your soul for. Don't let the winds and the storms of life, maybe it's sickness, maybe it's finances, maybe it's loneliness, maybe it's depression. Jesus went through all those things. The Bible said he was tempted yet such as we are, yet without sin. It's the things that remain are the things that are important. The Bible says it's the invisible things that are eternal. That's so mind-blowing. It's love. You can't see love. It's faith. You can't see faith except through your imagination. It's the invisible things, the Bible says, that are eternal. You buy a car, the moment you drive it off the lot, it's lost a couple thousand. Anything you physically can see is decaying the moment you get it. But it's the things that are invisible that remain. The Bible says of the greatest of these is love. And God's love above all things remains. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I don't want to preach another message while you're standing, so I'm closing. They say I preach better when you're standing. I don't know why that is, but I want you to take away from this. You got to remain. If there's one word you need to meditate, it's remain. If you can hold on to that word this week, despite all of life's storms, I am going to remain. Just tell Satan, I'm remaining no matter what you do. It's so awesome. I think one of the greatest things, Paul said many great things, but it just hit me how he said, none of this moves me. None of this moves me. That's the whole, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and if I die, it's gain. If I live, it's okay, but if I die, that's gain too. He says, none of this moves me. A lot of people have been asking me lately, how are you doing, Pastor? You know what I say? I'm doing fine, because none of this moves me. I'm going to remain. I don't know about you, but I am remaining right here. None of this moves me. My advice to you all, you better remain too. God bless you. We're going to open these altars. If you want prayer, come forward. I don't have any special magic, but I tell you who does. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, He is able to do, the Bible says, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or even think. And all I can tell you in my life is that God has done such spectacular things that most of the time I feel guilty because I wonder why He does it for me. I don't know. I am nothing, but all I can tell you is that I believe Him. And because I believe Him, the Bible says He counted it for righteousness. When you believe God, He will count your belief for righteousness. He calls those things that are not as though they be. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. We're going to close this service. But I'm just asking you, when you go today, when you wake up tomorrow, you tell whoever is listening, I'm going to remain. I'm going to remain. Nothing is going to move me. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts with me, Father, we thank You today for Your word that You have spoken to us today. Lord, You've accepted our worship. We know, Lord God, that our worship has been accepted. Lord, You promised that You would be in the midst of the praises of Your people. Lord, for those who have come forward, Lord, I pray right now, Jesus, Lord God, that they will put their hope, their hearts on You, that they will remain and not let anything, hallelujah, come between them and God. Lord, that we will be like Paul and say, nothing moves me. Lord, we just thank You right now, hallelujah, for Your blessing, for Your greatness, for Your love. Church, I'm just going to ask you to join with me in prayer and just make